Connor McDavid, the most famous current hockey player, thought that he could like go out in public with a girl that is not his girlfriend and no one would know who he was, which is even the most famous hockey player doesn't think hockey is a recognizable sport in public.
Start out by saying happy Monday, and then I realized that there's probably a good chance that most people are not listening on Monday. So happy whatever day of the week it is to you. I am Cam Hasbrook. We've got Doobie Schmooby Johnson over there, as well as
Doobie,
Christopher
Doobie, Doobie,
Geer, Christopher Geer, which I'm gonna call him now. This is Brews and Bruins, where the show where we talk about the Brews and also the Bruins. So let's do that. We'll start with the beer today. And then we'll get on to the hot hockey news of the day, which is Connor McDavid and Sammy Blais. Just kidding. This is probably not the podcast we're going to talk about that on. But I don't know. Chris, you look like you're drinking something interesting. It looks a little darker than usual taste. So what you got?
So I asked my mom if we had any beer in the fridge. I just got to my parents' house earlier today. And she showed me this. I don't. The listeners probably won't be able to see this because... You know, we're back on StreamYard and not recording the video. But it is a Wolters Black, a product of Germany, brewed in strict accordance to the German purity law.
Isn't the German purity law like bullshit?
I have no idea.
I feel like it is, but...
There are several different languages on the back of this. There's Spanish, Russian, obviously German, English... Korean and Chinese. But yeah.
So I got something for you here, Chris. Apparently the German purity law was created in the Bavarian city of Ingolstadt in 1516. But people don't even follow it, even if they say they do, because the purity law requires that, quote, nothing other than barley, hops, and water be used to produce beer. Because at the time in 1516, they didn't know about yeast. So they had to add that one in later on. So if they're abiding by the original purity law, then there's allegedly no yeast in that beer.
Yeah, well, here it is. Ingredients: water, barley malt, hops, hop extract, and that's it.
Wow. Is yeast included on the ingredients list for normally? I've never like read into a beer's ingredients that much.
So here we go. We got a 50 milliliter can. Alcohol 5%, gravity 11.45 degrees P, whatever the hell that means.
That's good.
I'm really excited to look that up later because that sounds scientific and definitely something I'd be interested in. It has Latin on the logo, very cool logo with some kind of crest with crowns and lions. Yeah.
To me, it looked like that can looks like a Four Loko fucked a Mar Black, like a box of Mar Blacks, and that's what came out was the Wolters Block.
Yeah, it's a very cool looking can. Definitely one of the most interesting beers I've had on this podcast. And let's rate it now.
Drum roll, please.
Drinkability actually pretty high for a dark beer. It's not super heavy. And it's very smooth, not a lot of bitterness or anything to it. So we'll give it a 32 drinkability. Tasteability. Yeah, it's got a fair amount of maltiness to it. And like a solid aftertaste, but it's not super flavorful, so I'll give it a 19.
Hells to the yeah.
Nice.
That was a good beer review. It's been a while since we've had something out of the ordinary. Doobie, what you got, kiddo?
I ate an edible earlier. So that's what I'm bringing to the table this evening. I don't know what the, I got it from Cannabis Cured in Portland, Maine. It's a, I'll give that dispensary a shout out. They're like watermelon. It's watermelon and some other flavor mixed together. And it like kind of reminds me of like the Sour Patch watermelons. But like you definitely get that like hint of, oh yeah, there's weed in this.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's so, when I see those like stories where it's like so and so ate a full thing of pop brownies without knowing. I'm like, did they like how you really didn't know? Because you can usually tell. I feel like I don't know.
So for tasteability on the gummies, I have to go the 37 right there. And then drinkability, zero. It was not drinkable at all. I mean, I guess I could have done a test on how long I had to hold it in my mouth before it melted. And then I could.
Yeah, what if you just, like, melted it down first? Would the drinkability be higher?
See, I was kind of thinking if you were to, like, toss it into water and try to swallow it like a pill, whether that would be the more effective way to technically drink it.
That would be, yeah, technically drinkable. Technically I think also melting it down.
Or do you eat? No matter what, if it's solid. I don't know what the technicalities are there. I do know that you're supposed to drink my beer, which is Miller Lite.
Can anyone tell we have nothing?
The official unofficial podcast. The official unofficial beer of the Bruising Brews podcast, rather. Drinkability, 3,700. Tasteability, 37 fucking 100. Woo! No, actually, drinkability is probably a 37. Tasteability is like a 16, which is I think is pretty good for a light beer. And I feel like they I don't know if they've always been doing this, but I feel like they started going with I saw the Miller Lite ad the other day that was like it's like the other light beers except you can actually taste it. And I was like, yeah, that's what I like about it. And I feel like it's nice that they're embracing that finally.
Was it the old Miller Lite ads that were the great taste list filling ones?
No, but those were pretty good too, actually.
Advertising. What beer was that for?
No, it was for Miller Lite.
That's what I was asking, if it was Miller Lite where the old ads used to be taste less filling.
Oh, I thought you meant like, was that the ad that I just saw on television? And I was like, no, not in the year 2022. So the hot news in the hockey world today is about Connor McDavid and Sammy Blais. I'm not sure if either of you saw any of those. I personally don't have much to comment on either one.
So,
I'm not sure if you did.
So the interesting thing I learned is that, of course, Sammy Blais, a Quebecois, he's a French-Canadian. And apparently the word sexy does not have the same meaning in Quebecois as it does in our normal dialect. So maybe not as weird to them.
Not quite as necessary.
But yeah, for sure, maybe uncomfortable. But I did see a lot of very funny tweets about the situation. A lot of Ben Shapiro stuff.
A lot of Ben Shapiro stuff.
I always love seeing the like weird tweets about Ben Shapiro trying not to act like he wants to fuck his sister.
Yeah. Are always good. Once again, that's Ben Shapiro.
and my one comment on the Connor McDavid thing is, I think the funniest thing about it, obviously, like it's real people. There's somebody actually getting hurt out of the situation. So like,
if true.
Always best to keep that in mind. But as far the humor that I got out of it was that Connor McDavid, the most famous current hockey player. Thought that he could like go out in public with a girl that is not his girlfriend and no one would know who he was, which is even the most famous hockey player doesn't think hockey is a recognizable sport in public.
I haven't seen the video. I'm watching it right now.
See, where do you think it is? Does anyone have any context as to where it was? Because if it's Edmonton, he's getting noticed, but he's not going out in Edmonton in the summer, I would imagine. God bless him. So no. I shouldn't shit on Edmonton like that. I've never been to Edmonton during the summer. I just can't imagine it's that high on the destination list for someone like myself. But I'm assuming he was probably somewhere in the U.S. from the look of it, but didn't look like Europe, and I don't know where else he'd be. Maybe it was Toronto or whatever, but or his hometown or something, but it was interesting for me because like my whole experience with it was like that I jumped on Twitter like the middle of the day and everybody was losing their shit. And I just saw like a bunch of like Jamie Lannister memes going on for the Sammy Bly thing. And then like people just being like, oh, Connor McDavid, like making Connor McDavid jokes, you know, whatever. And I had to like go through and figure out, I had to like reverse engineer these controversies and like figure out what's going on. Like searching Twitter, I'm like, Connor McDavid, show me highlights. I'm like, yeah, it's nasty hockey. I know that. Like, what is everybody talking about him today for? And then I saw.
Yeah, I just watched the video for the first time. And I love at the end, like the guy calls his name and he looks for dead into the camera and goes, oh shit.
Yeah, that was definitely not the. Just then did he realize. Yeah.
We left it up on it's a cliffhanger. I want to see what episode two is.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they produced it. There was all the memes about like McDavid never doing anything interesting, and then like this, like the, you know, the whole my beer kind of mentality was kind of funny. But also, like Chris said, if this is a real situation, it's, you know, not ideal either. So I don't know. Well, whatever. I'm sure we'll hear more about that whether we want to or not. But I feel like we. I wish we did reaction videos, because this episode could have just been Chris reacting to the Sweeney and Cassidy's Shakespearean tragedy story.
I still haven't listened to that yet. All right.
Yeah, see, I feel like we could have gotten those live reactions. That would have been good. Get the first Bruce and Bruce member to quit the podcast on the air.
That would be. I'm very worried. I assume a lot of it's at my expense.
No, actually. You were pretty much not even. You were pretty much just subbed in for Lancey, like.
Okay.
I guess so. Yeah. No, you made it out unscathed. Actually, I'm a little upset we didn't catch any strays there for him. We probably should have been better about that. Just to fulfill expectations. But. Yeah. What else? Oh, Drew and I saw a sick band this week. They were pretty cool, local.
Yeah.
It was crazy though. This lead singer, dude, he's like fucking Freddie Mercury out there, like. It's crazy, dude. They were wild, and they were on the smaller stage at this little free music festival thing in Portland, and yeah, they were good. True. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, no, they're dope. They're like my favorite local band. Yeah, Rigometrics.
I've
been live a couple times.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like you've mentioned them before.
Yeah, and I actually covered them with an article at one point too. Because they like
was that your choice or did you luck out on that?
Oh, that was my choice. I like pitched the idea to my editors and I pitched it to them, and they're like, "Sick, dude! Word." It was the best, because usually when I in my job I'm working with like a lot of older people, and this was just like kids my age, you know. And it's just like, what's up, man? Like dapping each other up and shaking hands. Like, nice to meet you. Thanks for letting me. It was funny.
They seem like cool guys, though. They were like the type that just like hopped off the stage and like putting their stuff away and just like chatting with people. And they seemed like just like two dudes who were just like really nasty at playing. That one guitarist too was incredible. Mm. Holy shit, could he shred? Yeah, I said it to my dad and I was like, I feel like you'd like this. Definitely your
it's a big 70s vibe to it, I think.
70s like classic rock. Yeah, it's a lost sound. You don't hear it much nowadays at the mainstream level, so cool to hear. But anyway, Chris, you got any Hop Bruins takes trying to throw out on the table? I know we kind of got some Cassidy thoughts already and stuff, but anything resurfacing now that it's bubbled for a few days? Or
I kind of wish, but no. Yeah, not just... really. A little update on what I'm doing with my life right now. I went to a bachelor party in Austin this past weekend. I will say Austin, pretty rad city. Not when it's 105 degrees out though.
Ooh, 105 degrees. That's...
Yeah, it was a battle to stay hydrated. Is basically what I'll call this past weekend. But we still had a bunch of fun. I'll say the highlights were we went out on the lake and kind of parked a party boat in a cove and had a real fun time. On a double decker party boat with a slide.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
I think that might be my bachelor party. Like, I feel like when I think like Nirvana, it's like double decker party boat with a slide in a cove.
Yeah. Absolutely rad. That we had like floating beer pong going on. had just had like a football everyone was throwing around. Just awesome time. And then the other highlights were just like eating a bunch of tacos and barbecue. And also we posted up in a like at the toward the end of the night at a bar that was kind of emptying out. And the bar had Papa Shot, shuffleboard, and golden tea. And three of my friends and I played 18 holes of golden tea, and it took 2 hours.
Damn, that sounds awesome though. I've never played, but it looks incredible.
I hadn't played since I was a young kid.
A wee lad. What the fuck just happened over there, Drew?
Judy, did you just get handed a spoonful of?
Yeah, that's really good. That's cooked great.
A spoonful of white substance
of rice, white rice.
Oh, I was gonna guess potatoes. But yeah, now I'm back at my parents' house in Massachusetts for a week. I got my mom's birthday is this weekend. Obviously, Father's Day is this weekend, and. I got a friend's wedding to go to in Delaware also this weekend, so going to be a wild time.
I was going to say, my dad's birthday is always right near Mother's Day. Sometimes it's the same day. Sometimes it's always that, like, within a week, though. So it's funny you have that reversed.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as Bruins go, I mean, just nothing. No more Friday dumps, please. Just kind of want to.
It's just so. I hope we,
yeah, I guess what Elliot Friedman put out a list of three guys who are being considered for the Bruins head coaching job. I saw Nate Lehman, Jay Leach, and I forget who the third name was, but
yeah,
like no David Quinn, no Barry Trotz on that list. I don't know if that was just like a list of three people that. Maybe they were considering in addition to a bunch of other people, or if that was like the top three candidates at current, but I wasn't mad about any of the names. And I feel like those are the types of names you're looking at when you're looking to change things up a bit.
Yeah. Nate Lehman used to coach at Union in New York by where I grew up for I think 6-7 years, but they ended up winning the national championship, but that was after he left because he went to Providence, but he won a national championship there, so there you go, college hockey guy.
And interestingly enough, I feel like on the two episodes ago when we were talking like immediate reactions, Richard brought up Mark Recchi, and I don't think any of us really talked about Mark Savard at all, who just won an OHL championship with his team. And I don't remember the name, but they just won. He popped up on the odds makers list for Dallas's new head coaching opening because he's currently coaching one of their top prospects. But he didn't show up on the Bruins list, which I thought was interesting.
Windsor Spitfires.
That's a sick team name.
That's a cool name though. They got actually a really cool jersey, but our logo at least. Yes, I love Savvy. It'd be cool, but I mean, it's always, I guess, in the college, it's kind of a similar thing, making that jump and stuff. You're always curious how it's going to go. And I don't know. I mean, I would definitely, if I were the Bruins, I'd sit him down for an interview. I think if he's had success early on, and even if it's just getting him into like an assistant role or something, I don't know how many openings they have and stuff. Although I guess they have one or two now, but.
I feel like they're gonna have many. Like, I feel like it's just like a very toxic.
It doesn't seem right now. Yeah.
Toxic, yeah. Energy.
And so he's also somebody that David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron are familiar with. So I don't know. That's something. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like for way too long. NHL coaching searches and GM searches have been very limited to like, oh, a guy that the GM knows or like the president knows or like played junior with one time or is like the brother of somebody who works in the front
like the
office
world.
Or
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just that's totally wild that the best candidate for this position just happened to be somebody who this guy knows very well.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I like an outside the box person, whether it be Mark Savard. I mean, it's hard to say like Mark Savard would be outside the box when like another former Bruins player like coming in, but I felt like Marty St. Louis was a kind of outside the box hire for Montreal. Like obviously he is a guy from Quebec, who, you know, he speaks French and English, and that's like what they look for in a head coach mainly.
Yeah.
But also a guy who wasn't like coaching an upper level hockey. So I appreciate that. And I even if they were, if they didn't make the hire for the right reasons, I think a lot of the things that he said in the off season about like how he was hired for the full-time coaching gig, I like to hear. Like very refreshing to hear a coach go, I'm not going to try to win games at the expense of the development of my players. And that's something that not a lot of NHL coaches are willing to say. So I don't know. Find somebody who thinks
remember,
like that.
I forget what it was, but there was something else that he said that was going around Twitter like a couple months ago. And I was like, same kind of thing. I don't think it was that, but I was just like, holy shit. Like you don't see coaches saying that a lot, but that's like something I can really get behind. I forget what it was, but whatever it was. He seems like a cool dude. Maybe we'll come from Montreal to Boston. That'd be something.
I like Marty. I always rooted for him as a player.
Yeah, he was fun to watch at Tampa and stuff.
Yeah, back before Tampa was the team that you can't root for.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a very different perception of the Tampa Lightning back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
A quick reminder that NBA playoff action is nonstop at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. I don't think you have that many choices because it's either the Warriors or the Dubs at this point, but looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs with DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, total threes made, total rebounds, and more, and boom, you have a shot at an even bigger payout. Right now, all customers can place a same game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg does not hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TBPN, bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code TBPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. She's showing us for details.
I don't know, I got nothing else to talk about, if anybody's
got ideas. Yeah, I mean, Stanley Cup final is set.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's right. there's the
it's,
thing.
Yeah,
the biggest thing in the sport we cover.
Tampa and Colorado. Tampa has a chance to win their third straight, which I think is absolutely huge. Once again, I think I am going to stick with my pick of the Avalanche, but as much as I would hate to see Tampa win a third straight, I do love to see good habits of like GMs and coaches in the NHL rewarded. And I think like if good teams keep winning, then teams are going to adjust their philosophies to match that. Whereas if like the Montreal Canadiens had won the Stanley Cup last year, like
that would have sent us back to the
Stone
Age.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, if the Rangers had won this year, like that would have been cool. And I think they do have some really good talent, but I also think like that would cause a lot of teams.
Analytics don't work. Oh.
Yeah.
No, it's just outliers.
I mean, not every team has Igor Shesterkin.
Yeah,
so,
especially you know. That as an outlier. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, no, I'd like to see the Avs win. Like we've kind of talked about it before. Like there's a team that's was like the Lightning were for kind of a while, just really talented, have been so close for a while and just haven't gotten over the hump, and they play a really exciting brand of hockey. I'm not sure if it's like I think it might be a little too much foot on the gas sometimes, but I definitely respect it. And obviously as a neutral, it's incredible to watch. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like last year's cup final was obviously kind of shit. And, you know, you go back a couple of years, you're getting into Bruins territory and stuff. So I'm kind of excited to watch like a really good cup final, again, where it's like the two teams that really deserve to be there clashing out as a neutral. It's going to be fun to watch. Like,
what was it? It was Dallas 2 years ago in the bubble. Is that the team that Tampa beat?
I think so, right?
Yeah, that's another team I think would have been bad for hockey if they had won.
Yeah, they were there a little more loaded back then because they had
the way I choose usually a team to root for in the playoffs when it's not the Bruins is I rarely root for within the conference. I would almost rarely vote for someone within the division. And then I'm going to go with the underdog. Tampa Bay checks all the boxes of why I wouldn't root for them. I don't want to see a team in our division three-peat. Like, good for them if they do, but like, I don't want that. On top of that, I'm already like I have a soft spot for the Avs because Ray Bourque won the cup with them. And I think that there are a lot of people in Boston who have that soft spot.
And shouts to Lancey, who's definitely like secondarily Avs fan.
Yeah, I was going to say Lancey has more than a soft spot for them.
My guy has a Joe Sakic jersey, so.
Yeah, that's pretty tight.
Yeah. The other thing I will say about the Avs is, like, UMass legend Cale Makar plays for that team. So, I will always be rooting for Cale Makar. It was pretty fun to have my buddy Zach, who doesn't watch a lot of hockey, was watching some of the Western Conference final and was like, oh, so, like, Cale Makar is, like, actually, like, really good. And explaining to him that people are now having the debate, like, is he one of the top three players in the league?
Yeah.
Is fun. And, like, explaining to him that he's probably going to win the Norris Trophy as the best defenseman in the league. And him being like, oh, like, what?
Yeah. Like, damn. Yeah, I guess that's pretty cool. Like, he was a UMass friend, or?
Friend from high school. So, yeah, like, okay. UMass fan as well. Like, his dad's a professor at UMass, so.
Okay, yeah. So that's gotta be cool to land that connection without having the connection to the sport as much. But, well, hopefully Cale Makar wins it. That'd be neat.
Yeah.
Cale Makar. No.
Just pretend it's Ray Bourque.
it's like Carl Yastrzemski. Cale Makar. All
right. Celtics. Go Celtics. Let's go watch that game.
Let's say the fuck word, Boston fans. Do it.